to San Jose. I've been away so long, I may go wrong and lose my way. Do you know the way to San Jose? I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. LA is a great big freeway. Put $100 down and buy a car. In a week, maybe two, they'll make you a star. Weeks turn into years, how quick they pass. And all the stars.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo. Eric, I almost called him Trent. I don't know where that came from.
Trent.
I don't know where. And Trisha, and in the studio, special guest actress, co-writer Haley Smith, Once I Was a Beehive. And, of course, I happen to really know this one, so I could miss... do this, but it's Dionne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick, do you know the way to San Jose? Do you know what movie it's from?
It is from, this is where I can guess, 1942 Babe Ruth.
Why would anything be that?
God, Dave, you almost had it. You had the first part right.
Oh, the San Jose movie?
Alive.
Alive?
Alive.
I never saw that.
Yeah, the
There's
movie Alive, which was
There's
the original.
There's a theme.
Okay. Well, we forgot to tell you. Haley's in the dark. This is actually our Everest show.
Okay.
Because Everest came out this weekend as well.
Yes.
And so it came out in IMAX in 3D, and it's the only way to see it. It got... three huge thumbs up, one breakthrough, which means it's one of the best ever.
Oh, wow.
And it's a phenomenal, phenomenal film.
Great
in
movie.
Fact, when you drove up into the parking area, we were just finishing an interview over a satellite phone with a mountaineer who was at a base
Makalu.
Camp. Second base
28.
Camp.
28,000 feet. He was at 22,000.
Yeah, he's in Nepal at a 22,000.
But it's the fifth largest mountain in the world.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Getting ready to try to ski down it.
And 10 miles from Everest. He could see Everest.
And Haley's lucky that she's here this week instead of next week, because next week that song's also going to be featured because there's something else that happens in Alive that has to do with cannibalism. And next week is our cannibalism show.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. You're going to repeat songs?
I came on the wrong one.
Yeah. Put a damper on enlightenment.
And then he came in this morning and asked me if I wanted to cook something for next week.
Yeah, exactly.
For our cannibal show?
Budget Bistro.
I have a neighbor I don't like.
Yeah, just it's cheap.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
it's cheap.
No, I think I know why he asked that, and we'll be talking about that show later on.
Wow.
But I do want to say, I saw Once I Was a Beehive prior to seeing Everest.
Okay.
And one of my first... impressions of the movie is right there in the opening scenes. I was like, wow, check out the nature scenes and the cinematography of this
movie. You told
me
check out the Rangers.
No, that I was saying the opening scene.
Yeah, you were already ahead of yourself.
I didn't tell you to check out the Rangers.
No, not me.
I was rewinding there. Yeah. But your scenery and your cinematography and that it just set the tone for communing with nature and, you know, God's country or whatever you want to call it. I think that term was used, you know, that when she was talking about why they went camping so often. I just thought and how, you know, her during that banter with her parents in the car. I'll try to be vague enough.
Yeah.
The banter with her parents in the car as to, you know, take an eye photo of this. You know, I love that. I love that line. Take an eye picture or eye photo of this.
Just
you know, and he goes, you know, just blink your eyes and see all the beauty around you. And so often, and the other thing, the other line I loved was, we're free. Free from the
shackles
of society. And it was after they had put their cell phones away. They were no longer in digital age. They were in nature, enjoying one another's company. And what we all know is, when you're not missing out on anything,
you're missing out on everything.
If you're
what?
With the ones you love, because you're where you should be with the people you should be with.
Wow.
I kind of blew
a little theme. No,
I loved it.
And not only it set the theme with the scenery and the conversation, but the chemistry, the love, the daughter and the dad. I thought that set the tone.
Yes.
And the music just was great. I mean, who found this music? Who wrote this music? Throughout the whole movie, I love the music. It reminded me, like I said, of Juno, that type of music.
And I love the last song.
So great to hear. Oh,
that original song.
So cute.
Together.
I wrote that song.
You do?
I did.
Oh, I love that.
I thought you knew that.
Look what I put here. I wrote that down.
Oh, how funny. Yeah.
You think she can read that chicken scratch?
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
E-O-G.
No, that was great.
Yeah, say, can you say it?
E to the T.
Live in studio performance. We had the Motown Miracles last week.
That's true.
Here we go.
Acapella.
But how about the other music, too?
No. We had an open call for that, too. We wanted to get original artists to submit.
All upbeat music.
Yeah, because we're just a little independent film, so we're not going to be, bringing in, some big bands.
That was good.
So, yeah, we brought in, we listened to lots of original music and picked out
really
artists
nice.
That we loved, and some of those songs I heard and I was like, yes, this is the perfect.
And I love your
for
song
this
though.
Scene.
How long did that take to write?
Well, it was kind of funny. McLean was like, well, I need you to write a song that Lane sings, a new camp song that a teenager would write, and I'm like, okay, sure, I'll just get right on that. But really, once I started thinking about, the theme of the film, and then I kind of played with, what would a fun, camp song, sound like, and it was just kind of, the tune was just kind of in my head, and
it was great.
But yeah, we don't want to be a spoiler either, because I think when that song comes out at the end of the movie, it's very moving. And so I think maybe it would be a spoiler if she actually were to try to sing it, don't you? But I will tell you that there is a song in there that is a hymn, so to speak.
Yeah.
God Be With You, but a completely different adaptation to it than I've ever heard before.
Oh, wait.
Spirit of God, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a completely different adaptation of it. Very creative, very more, you know.
Yeah, so that guy is actually a friend of mine from when I lived in New York, and he takes hymns, and then he arranges them in a folk versions of the hymns, and so that was his rendition of that song, and it's great because it's so accessible. It's not churchy.
It's nothing. It's just this beautiful. I loved it.
It's just his voice excellent. And the guitar, and I love that one. So thanks.
How
I'm
is
glad
it
like that.
Working with your daughter? I mean, is that? Did it go smoothly? Is it, of course, you've been an actress for how long?
A long time.
Long time. Well, you look very young
still.
So.
Remember what our guest said. I mean, what our watcher said.
What did they? Oh, yeah.
Smoking hot.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Which is all you, the only qualification for being an actress.
But,
No.
Just kidding.
And how long?
Super talented. She's not just an actress. She does comedy.
Oh, writing. And
my background is mostly
improv.
Theater and comedy.
Yeah.
So, film's a little different. But we're, working.
Did you ever work with your daughter before, or is this the first time?
No, only as an instructor. I taught drama for kids in New York, and so I taught them. I directed them in plays and stuff. And so actually when we wrote the script kind of with her personality in mind, because McLean knew her whole life. And so then she actually did a little script reading for us. And he was like, and I was like, how did you know how to do that part so well? And she's like, well, it was based on me, wasn't it? She's like, I was just being myself.
That is too
anyway,
cool.
But she submitted an audition tape like everybody
really?
Else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, she said she heard that monologue over and over again. Uh-huh. And I was like, 300 times, were other people interviewing? Auditioning.
Yeah,
so
no, she
awesome.
Submitted a tape. And McLean had the final call. He wanted to cast her. And I was a little nervous because she'd never done a movie. This is her first film experience.
Fantastic job.
But the way her mind works, I mean, she's a lot like the character. She just absorbs information. And so her first day, she learned everything there was to know about being on set, about the camera, everything. And then from that time on, she just showed up like an old pro. And
it's great. I think it was during the break, so I don't think our listeners on KPHX got to hear about the dog Tink.
Oh yeah,
that is Phoebe's dog in the show. Uh-huh. That's not actually her dog.
Yeah, not her dog, and not like a working, not a trained dog. It's just the director McLean's dog, And, you know, again, since low budget movie, we're like, well, we can't. We blew our money on Tank. Let's bring in the director's dog. But she was great. Yeah, her name is Tink.
But, Tink and Tank.
But your daughter, Mila, did a phenomenal job interacting with her. I really thought that was her dog.
Well, and that was kind of acting for her because she has never, we've never had a dog. Sorry. Well, we do now. Did, we do now.
You do.
She did a great job.
But yeah, but she was really nervous at the beginning. And I don't know, maybe she just channeled that energy. But yeah, she did it. She did a great job, like learning how to bond with her and stuff. It was really cute.
Wow.
Let's remind our listeners where they can see the movie. The movie is called Once I Was a Beehive. And right now in studio, we have actress/co-writer Haley Smith. Plays Holly Valentine in the movie. And it's playing exclusively here in Phoenix at the Harkins Superstition Springs. I think you can see it for, it's got at least one or 2 week run.
Yeah,
right?
In fact, it would be great if, with being an independent film, they really look at if people come out this first weekend and go see the movie, then that will give us the ability to be able to open up in other theaters in Arizona.
Oh,
we've had a
nice.
Lot of people asking, you know, when are you coming to the North Valley? And so it's really important that people get out today, you know, or tomorrow and see the movie and tell their friends to come next week. And we're guaranteed through this next Thursday, but we could extend.
That would be nice.
Support.
Yeah, because I know that some people on the Facebook,
Is that like the internet?
That's right. He's not quite connected.
I found this thing where
we're not just talking social media.
That's right.
But someone was saying, you know, that's so far for me. So you know what? I think that people all should and especially if someone's listening to us or watching us on Meerkat, you know, go to your local theater and request it. Say, hey, there's this movie I heard about, and you know, you never know, that might help as well.
Yes, because we're doing so well at Harkins Superstition Springs. I've been practicing that. Then those other theaters should be paying attention. Yeah. And so it will only help if, people call in and ask about it. That'd be great. And if you do get a chance to go this weekend, please, you know, post it on the social media, you know, on the Facebook and the Instagram. With, hashtag
Twitter.
Once I was a beehive. And then we can see it and we know that you're going. And, it's a lot of fun.
Wow.
That is so cool. Now, Your daughter Mila and Paris, did they develop a off-screen friendship?
Yes, their relationship was really cute. They're both kind of like quiet girls and very sweet. And so Paris really kind of took Mila under her wing, she does in the movie. And they would kind of like stay together apart from all the other girls. And I think Paris kind of did that as an acting thing because she was kind of playing an outsider, and so she was kind of, you know, little method on her part. She's a great little actress. Her and Mila would really have some good talks, and they'd help each other with stuff. And, you know, it was kind of like going to girls' camp filming the movie. I felt like I was at girls' camp for 2 weeks because we had weather, we had rain, we had hail, we had, you know, sleep deprivation, we were cold, lots of tears. So, I mean, there were times, you know, when people would get emotional, and they really took care of each other. It was very sweet.
So Mila and Paris, they still talk, and what's happening with Paris? I mean, I thought she was such a great actress.
Yeah, she's great. She's very serious about it. Her idol is Meryl Streep,
best actress ever.
We had a Meryl Streep show.
Right?
Yeah.
I know, she's a national treasure. So she is just, she's very serious about it. She works very hard. She takes lots of classes. She has done a couple other movies, but she's getting cast in more things now, and I think people are paying attention. This was her first starring role, like carrying the movie, and we were just delighted with her. We just
how'd you find her? There's an open
We did an open call, and then she came to us through her agent in Salt Lake City.
She lives in
she lives
Utah,
in Salt Lake. She goes to high school in Utah, and we saw her and we're like, that's the lane in my head, and here she just walked in. So how great is that?
Wow. She had the look, but she also did such a great job with her lines and having her facial expressions, just the entire package, just phenomenal.
Tremendous. Now, Yeah, I'm just sort of curious. You know, Hollywood has a reputation, and when I mean Hollywood, I mean the film industry, whether mm-hmm. it's New York, Hollywood, or whatever. You know, it's you know, a tough situation, especially, or maybe this isn't even true. I mean, when you know, this movie was about everyone that with high values and morals, and do you find that? You know, I was going to say difficult, but as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking it's probably easier when you know who you are and what your values are. You have the boundaries already set up. So does it make it easier to deal in an industry that is known to be sort of loosey-goosey?
I think it's hard. I think it just depends. Yeah. Like, I know I do have friends, you know, that have run into some, you know, tricky situations or, you know, they feel a lot of pressure or, you know, they, and it's different for everyone, you know, like everyone has different boundaries and, you know, what feels right for one actor might not, you know, be good for another actor. So I think it just depends. But, for this particular movie, it really helped that, we really tried to set the tone on set and we wanted to keep a really high a positive environment and high morale. And so, like, Lisa, who plays Carrie Carrington in the movie, Lisa and I, we kind of felt like we were the young women leaders, like, for the girls. And it was really important for us, for everyone, no matter where they were coming from, because we had girls coming in from LA. We had four of our girls were not members of the LDS faith.
Okay.
And we had five girls in high school, five girls not in high school. So we had, you know, all these different backgrounds and everything. And we just wanted everyone to feel safe and, like, happy and just have a really good experience. And if you talk to any of those girls, they just had a lovely time and they, you know, would do it again in a heartbeat. So, I mean, I think it just depends on what your goal is, what you're setting out to do. That is definitely one advantage of being a producer and being, you know, there from the top, because we could make those decisions, we could have artistic control and not have to face those dilemmas. Like,
is challenging, especially if it goes up against a core value you have. And you usually don't want to sacrifice a value for commercialism.
Right. And I think, like you said, it helps to make those decisions early on. I mean, that's what I tell my kids, you know, just, you know, decide what your boundaries are now, and then it's easier.
Easier, but it's still, if you've got somebody putting a lot of pressure. We were just talking last week to Tia.
Oh, yeah, Tia Mowry.
Tia Mowry. And I told her, I said, you know, you see so many people that grow up doing Disney and then they go off the rails. Or, you know, they seem to be good, wholesome people, and then they decide they have to prove that they're not, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, how did you and your sister and your brother, because we've talked with all three of them, you know, Tia, Tamara, and Taj, they all just seem so grounded. And then from the middle,
Atticus Schaefer,
we had him on too. And the same thing, just really down to earth, nice, good people. Mm-hmm. And we asked all of them, you know, how did you do that? And that was it. Our parents were a great example to us. Mm-hmm. They didn't let our heads get too big. They, you know, it's like, hey, it's a job.
Yeah.
You know, this is not you.
Right.
You know, you stay you and you do a job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And well, that's why I was a little nervous about having my daughter do it. I'm like, what? But she was great. She really, she would do her job on set, and then she'd go do her homework, and she'd get stressed out. She's like, I'm getting behind on my studies, you know, but it's been really fun to watch her, because she's just kind of unfazed by the whole thing. She's like, yeah, I did a movie, but I'm going to be a psychiatrist, so.
So it'll come in handy, I'm sure.
I do think it's important as a parent, you know, to just be, to not, you know, push them and be like, make sure that you're paying attention to what they really want to do and not, you know.
There was a scene I really enjoyed. There's so many scenes, but one that stood out is the back and forth between the two girls, and then you and your friend about deciding. You said, no, don't push her to go to camp. And and then your friend started to say, no, let's talk to him. And then back to the scene between the two girls that she didn't, you know, your daughter didn't want to go. And it was such a great, compassionate moment when Lane wanted to say, hey, I'll go with you, pretty much, or I'll go. And it just showed the type of character Lane was.
Yeah, and that really set her on her journey, because that's what we were trying to figure out. How can we get her to camp but make it, you know, so it's so she really makes the decision, and she's still a strong, active character, and not just being acted upon. And she's a great character.
Well, and she had multiple occasions in which to remake that decision without trying to be a spoiler.
Yeah.
That's right.
And one other thing. I did attend girls' camp, of course, and I went for all my years and did the 4-day hike at the end, and had a lot of really fun experiences. But my girls' camp consisted of 200 girls.
Oh yeah.
And what amazed me was that with such a small cast, you were able to get so many different personalities brought into it that basically I could relate to every one of those girls as somebody I went to camp with.
Oh, good.
And I think that's going to be pretty universal with anybody who has gone to girls camp or gone to a summer camp for a long period of time with a lot of people. But you did such a great job with bringing all those personality types and everything into it that it just makes it even more enjoyable to me.
Thanks. Yeah, that was really important to us, to not have just flat stereotypes. And so we really based pretty much everyone in the movie on someone real in our lives. And so I think that helps for sure.
And I think next time I go to Flagstaff skiing or something like that, I'm going to bring some snow cone syrup.
No yellow snow cone syrup.
Right.
Well, and I told, when McLean had that part, I'm like, that doesn't happen. He's like, oh no, my mom knows of somebody who did this. I was like, I have heard it all then. Because, so everything in the movie we based on something that has actually happened.
I was thinking about that.
That's pretty amazing, because I told them, I said, that is so over the top. Some of the stuff is so over the top that I thought, I can't.
Not
even
if you're
believe.
Carrie Carrington.
I was going to say, Carrie Carrington, I could picture
the sky's
this.
The limit.
Yeah, yes. She was a perfectionist on everything, and just the woo over.
But
the,
she wanted also to make it special.
Well, she
right,
did.
And she had
and
some
she
nice.
She really
things.
Cares. She's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everyone has a different way of showing that.
And you have seen people. I have seen people like that that are just so focused on doing everything so well.
Right.
That it's like the rest of us kind of feel like. Okay.
Yeah.
But even her, you kind of see her unravel a little bit, as it goes on.
But that
on,
makes her
fun.
That makes her
that's
human.
She's human.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It makes her human, but it also gives that humor to it, so that even people who may be like that in their real life somewhat or to a lesser degree can still laugh and enjoy it.
Yeah. And it really is a good movie. Again, 3 thumbs up. Everyone needs to go and check this movie out. It's called Once I Was a Beehive. It's playing exclusively at the Harkins Superstition Springs. Let's get it in more theaters here in Phoenix. Let's get it in more theaters throughout the country. Once I Was a Beehive. Is there a website? Is it Girls Camp?
Yeah, we have onceiwasabeehive.com is our website. And on there's a list of all the theaters we're playing. Currently only one in Arizona. But and we also have a Facebook page, Once I Was a Beehive, Instagram, @ Once I Was a Beehive, Twitter,
at the Instagram.
At Twitter. And Twitter is Once I Was a capital Beehive, because all the words didn't fit. Twitter, whatever.
I do have one more question.
Yes, one more question from
What does the future look like for you? What's your next project? You can have other projects coming up?
Yeah, we would love to do more. That's one of the reasons we're hoping that this does well, is because we'd love to work together again. We've kind of thrown around the idea of a sort of sequel, Once I Was a Pioneer, about Trek. That's something that occurs where the youth get dressed up as pioneers and they go actually like
hand
experience and they pull hand carts.
Really?
And then you can bring the boys in and have some of that dynamic. So,
oh, wow.
It's definitely something we've thrown around. But for sure would love to work with my friends again. It was just a gift. So
maybe a TV series?
That would be awesome. We love to work together and create good funny stuff that everyone can watch. Yeah. That my 8-year-old, it's their favorite movie, and I love that they can watch it. And then like my 90-year-old grandpa can go and enjoy it, and so it's fun.
Great movie.
Yes, it is. Great
congratulations.
Movie. Once on I was so a Beehive actress, co-writer Haley Smith. Thank you so much for joining us in studio. And you know, our watchers are saying, bring the movie here to Monterey, California.
We gotta get it to California. Yeah. San Diego would love this movie.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I think it would play well anywhere and everywhere. And as we know from all of the film festivals that we go to, just because it's a great show and talented, it's hard to get distribution. You've gotten somewhat over that hurdle. So let's keep it going, people.
Let's keep the momentum going. We want everyone to see it because there's something in it for everyone. It's just for LDS people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very true. I totally agree.
And this is Boney M. singing Girl in the Ring from Touching the Void. Thank you again, Haley. It's been an absolute pleasure and honor to speak with you. And, you know, thank you so much for taking the time to come here in studio with us.
It's been so much fun. thank you
so much. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.